Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
We're joined on the phone by Senator Pauline Hanson, the leader of One Nation. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Hi.
Good morning.
May we call you Pauline?
Oh, by all means, please. I prefer Pauline.
Great. Well, look, welcome to our show. As you know, Joy is a LGBTI radio station. We've been going 23 years now. And having you on, you know, to talk to you about some of the issues that are important to us is really important to us. And I really appreciate you making the time. I know you're pretty busy, so welcome.
Well, thank you very much. It's although I didn't get my senator over the line in Victoria, but we got good support, and I think it's been important, you know, to make myself available to people around Australia to actually hear my views, what I stand for, and so it's my pleasure to come onto the radio station. So, no worries.
Is this, if I might ask, Pauline, is this your first time on a LGBTI radio station?
Look, I don't believe so. Look, put it this way. I don't go asking radio stations that I do interviews with if they are.
Cool.
But we are, of course.
I just talk to different people. I've been on to a community radio station up around Byron Bay that had a good discussion with me on my policies and actually went to my website and had a look at it and came back and said, actually, we agree with so much of what you say. So it's a good opportunity. People have a perception about me without going, looking at my policies, what I actually stand for, or speaking to me. So you may have a view or a perception about me. So this gives me an opportunity for people to hear me directly.
Well, so Pauline, as you know, we are like Australia's only 24/7 licensed community radio station in Australia, and so we're really interested to know why you've actually decided to come on and have a conversation with us this morning.
Well, actually, it was my chief of staff, James Ashby, who encouraged me to actually go on your radio station. Well, he told me, not encouraged me.
He told you.
Thank you, James.
Well, as every good chief of staff should do.
Well, he is. Your request goes through James. So anyway, James said, look, I've had this call from this radio station, and he said they'd like to have a talk with you. And he said, look, there's no problems. And of course, there was an issue about my views about the gays. And he said, well, there is no issue with Pauline Hanson. He said, actually, I'm gay. And so I put that point forward. And he said, look, go on, have a talk with them and explain your views, who you are. And I thought, yep, I'm not backing away from who I am, what my beliefs are, regardless of it. They may not have, you know, I may not agree with everyone. That's the country that we live in, and isn't it wonderful that we all have a right to have an opinion, have a say, and as long as we can all, you know, tend to agree or to disagree.
And keep it civil, of course.
And keep it civil.
Of course.
I want to ask Pauline, the very first aim or on your website says to bring about the necessary changes for fair and equal treatment of all Australians. How do you see that this might apply to the LGBTI community in terms of fair and equal treatment?
Well, all Australians, as I say, you look at people and treating them fairly and with equality, and I've always stood by that, with equality. And now you're going to the fact of marriage equality, aren't you? That's what this is all based on.
Well, that's
why you're asking that question, all right?
That's part of it, yeah.
Now, Yes, it is. And what you've got to understand is that I've come from a time when there was no discussion about gay marriage or gay and lesbians living together or whatever. Now, that's my background. That's what I was growing up with. Now, society has changed over a period of time, and I agree that everyone has the right to live their life in peace and harmony. I don't have a right to tell anyone else, you know, how to live their life, whether they're happy. Everyone has a right to happiness. But the gays and lesbians are now wanting to change my way of thinking, who I am, because they want to now take out of the concept of marriage to me was between a man and woman. Now you're wanting to change it to whatever sex or opposite sex. Everyone has a right to happiness, and I will not tell you how to live your life. What you do behind your closed doors is everyone's individual business. So what I'm saying is I have a way of thinking. What I see a marriage is, I accept that you want to be together, how you feel about each other. I have no problems with that. But you've got to convince me how changing my way of thinking, how I was brought up, to embrace and endorse that, and also the impact that may have on my, on our, not my, but our society.
Hi, Pauline. Amy Middleton here. I'm a journalist and I publish a magazine called Archer, which is very inclusive of all identities. I can really understand how a big change to society would be scary, and sometimes changes in society scare me too. I guess we're kind of honing in, rather than on human happiness, more on human rights. And I feel like talking about equality and fairness of all Australians really is about talking about basic rights. And I see kind of marriage as kind of integral to equality. So I guess I wanted to ask whether you think that all Australians are equal, including lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender and intersex people.
Are they equal?
Yeah.
Everyone should be treated on an individual basis. So, yes, I do believe in equality, and I've always stood for equality. But it's not scary. Scary's not the word. Anything that I look at in legislation is, you must look at the impact it is going to have on society. Is it going to be good for us? And I'm not just talking about gay marriage, all right? I'm talking about right across the board. Hmm. I try to look at making the right decisions and the impact it will have on our society. Because people are putting their trust and faith into me to make the right decisions for their future and future generations. Now, this whole thing about the gay marriage, I think it's been blown completely out of proportion. Hey, listen, guys, I've been married twice. It's not all that as great as what it's been. So, you know.
But, Pauline, you've been allowed to get married. We're not allowed to get married.
Look, marriage is a commitment between, you know, two people.
That's right.
I understand that. And the whole fact is, why do you need the public to go on and embrace this? What are you trying to prove to each other?
I understand.
Go and make the commitment to each other. Isn't that the most important thing?
I totally
Why
get
do you
that.
Want to take the word marriage? Why don't you look at it as a civil ceremony? Make that commitment to each other. Then you will actually have the support of people who are against you taking the marriage, which is between a man and woman. You know, you've actually got to give on this part. Use another name with it, civil ceremony. If you look at my policies, I actually state that I believe a referendum to define in the Constitution the word marriage. I then have agreed to a plebiscite, let the people vote on it. And the third one, then it comes to conscience on the floor of Parliament. I have not come out openly and said, no, I totally disagree with this.
Yeah,
I think the people in general should have a vote on this.
We've read the One Nation's policies on it, and you're absolutely right. That is what you recommend. I guess the reason for me that we don't want to go with some other wording apart from marriage, I just want to tell a quick anecdote. My girlfriend and I went to America last year for a holiday, and when we arrived in the country, the customs officer said to us, "Are you married?" without even so much as a glance at at us to find out our gender. And I felt so moved by being asked whether my girlfriend and I were married without any judgment that I almost started to cry. And it was only at that point that I realized how different we are in Australian society, that we're left out of something that feels like it should be allowed to everybody. That's just an anecdote from me. Tess?
But Pauline, I think for me, at the end of the day, it goes back to your number one aim, and that is the fair and equal treatment of all Australians. I want to be treated like every other Australian. I want to be able to get married to my partner. And why should I be treated differently because I'm a gay man?
But why don't you go and make that commitment to each other? Why do you have to have a marriage certificate? You know, it's...
Why should anybody have a marriage certificate?
Why don't you make it, call it a civil ceremony between the both of you? Why do you have to have the word marriage, which is...
Many
which
queer
is always,
people are religious.
...between a man and woman. And I'll tell you something, too. Going back, and I've had a lot of gay friends over the years that I've associated with the gays, and I've actually worked with the gays, and Todd McKinney as well, and we had a great friendship. Now... Todd even agreed, you know, he wasn't one to, you know, worry about marriage. And there are ones that I've spoken to, said, we agree with you, Pauline. We don't believe in marriage in gays. You know, so not all gay people agree with the marriage either. So we're coming down to probably the minority group again in Australia. So who want this? I can see where you are coming from. I really can, in wanting to feel that you're equal to everyone else. But we live in a society that has been predominantly always marriage between a man and a woman, and it's changing around the world by all means. Yes, I may be old-fashioned, my views and how I think, but... If you feel strongly about this, then let's put it to a plebiscite. Let the people decide.
Yeah, Pauline, I do understand where you're coming from. I think as a warrior from many, many decades of fighting for equality for my community, I always say that equal means equal. Now, I don't want to reduce in any way the way that opposite sex couples feel about marriage. I understand it's a ceremony and a tradition that has been around a long time. I'd ask you to consider that a lot of other countries have changed their laws in this regard. England, Ireland, Wales, you know, Canada, France, Spain, many, many. And there doesn't seem, you know, with those countries, I don't know that I could say that they are worse off having done this, that they've moved on to other issues that, you know, perhaps needed some more attention. So I just sort of, I do respect your view. I respect the view of people that don't agree with me. A lot of people have a problem with that. But, you know, I seek to understand that, you know, why for you and for your party that this issue, you know, this is an issue that is... How is it going to affect your life, and how is it going to affect the lives of people who support you and that support the aims of your party? How is it going to affect their lives if I can get married? If I can publicly say, I love this person and I want to spend the rest of my life with them, how does that affect yourself and other people?
Well, can't you do that without getting married? That why then, if you can actually go, and if you read my policies, I believe that you should have the same rights as if you're in a de facto relationship or whatever, and you have the same property rights, you have, you know, internal superannuation, everything like that, you can share everything else. But you actually want to take the word marriage, which is defined between a man and woman, and you want that. You're fighting for that. Okay, you're not prepared to give or take. You're actually coming out wanting to take from the majority of society something that we have grown up with as marriage. The defining word marriage is between a man and a woman. So, you know, I don't care what other countries around the world are doing. My responsibility and I'm a citizen of Australia. So I don't care what's happening around the world. If you want, if you feel that strongly about it, well, then I'm sure you can marry to that, move to that country, and then you can have the marriage.
Oh, do we have
but you
to
see,
leave?
But you see, I could have, but...
What I'm saying is, and what I've stood by is, it goes to a plebiscite. Let the people of Australia decide on this. And I don't believe a plebiscite should be held next year because I think the cost involves $160 million to $250 million, a cost that we cannot afford, should not be imposed on the Australian people. And it should go at the next federal election at the ballot box at that time. I think when I see people who are homeless, no, a lack of hospital care, our health, everything that is happening in Australia, I do not believe this is an issue that should be pushed at this time, and I'd like to see it go to a plebiscite at the next federal election.
Okay, if I can just, I'm not, I don't support a plebiscite at all. I just,
so what do you want?
Well, in 2004, when the Marriage Act was changed by the Parliament in terms of how they define marriages, and you know, when you said a little bit earlier, well, look, I could go and get married somewhere else, I could have. Before 2004, and under the law as it existed in Australia then, when myself and my partner came back to Australia, that marriage would have been recognised under Australian law. The point I'm making is the Parliament made that change, right? The Parliament should make this change. Now, I know we're going to fundamentally disagree there, but if there's an issue that's really important to us, let's say euthanasia, let's say abortion, let's say going to war. We don't have a plebiscite on those. We've let the Parliament decide that. I have a problem with our Parliament, that I respect democracy, abrogating its responsibility to govern. But I'm not dismissing your view. I'm just saying we changed it once before. Why, you know, perhaps we should really consider... Again, and in a parliament, of course, you know, yourself and your three Senate colleagues, they will get a vote, and, you know, they have just as much right to be there as any other senator, and you represent people. So I'd like you to consider that.
But see, my vote carries no more weight at the ballot box to any other Australian. And that's why you will have better representation. Everyone will have a more of a say at the ballot box where every Australian will have their say. Why should it come down to 226 people in Australia to determine the future of marriage?
Well, the
and there's nothing changing the legislation to the word to meaning man and woman. Who's to say that that can't be changed again? Because in countries around the world, under the Islamic faith, you can actually have married up to four women. You can actually marry a child, a child. So where to change the laws? So we have defined now between a man and woman. That's why I wanted it enshrined in the Constitution as well. Because who knows what our country is going to look at further down the track. Are we going to change the Marriage Act at any point by the Parliament to suit any religion or anyone's point of views?
So, Pauline, are you saying that some people are more equal than other people and therefore those people are allowed to get married?
No, we're not talking about equality here as far, you know,
yes, we
as far
are.
As it's done. This is about an issue, and I've always stood up against minority groups are pushing their agendas, and we've got to look at the impact that may have on Australia as a whole.
If we're talking impact, then I feel like it's... Sorry, Pauline, were you finished?
Yeah. No, go on.
I feel like it's important to raise the issue that a lot of members of the LGBTI community have with a national plebiscite, and that's that it's going to be damaging to many people, and especially young people. Now, I don't have kids. My partner and I don't have kids, but we've had a chat about how glad we are that we don't have any children in school at the time of a potential plebiscite because of the awful mental health outcomes that it can have on young people to allow this sort of debate. How should a civilised society allow a national and very public discussion like this to take place, knowing full well that it will hurt and damage young people?
I think you are actually blowing that out of proportion to make that as an excuse why you shouldn't have a plebiscite.
Well, the research shows that these debates lead to poorer health outcomes, especially for young people. There's research from Beyond Blue, Q Life,
Headspace, the Mental Health Council of Australia.
There's so many, and they're kids, Pauline. They're children.
I don't. Well, I'm sorry, I disagree with that because I don't believe there's going to be hate. Different things that I've spoken about, I've spoken about factual. I don't go out in a hateful way. Yet I've had people come back at me, those minorities, with their hate preaching. So I don't believe that to be the case. I think it would be a balanced debate. Mm. People will put their points of view across. And to use that as an excuse, these organisations, and I think that some of these organisations are pushing their own agenda, I think if it can be put across in a balanced way that people have the right to know the impact and people have a right to have their say at the ballot box. This is the country we live in. But regardless of it, look, I have one of my policies also is citizens-initiated referenda, whereas the people can actually put forward to the in a petition to bring any issue to the parliament. If they don't pass the people's wishes, then put it to a vote by the people. I believe, and that's why I'm clarifying my point, my position here. I have said on many issues, we've got to get back to people power, not the politicians. Let the people have their say. It may be on immigration, it may be on health, it may be on education, it may be on this issue. I'll go back to people power. Get it out of the hands of politicians because our country is in one hell of a mess. Give it back to the people. And that's why I'll stand by a plebiscite. Let the people have their say.
Is this, Pauline, a direction of... And I do understand it's something that One Nation supports, citizen-initiated referenda?
Correct.
And so then in terms of, if I can ask, you know, if you believe in that, I happen not to, but if you believe in that, what role do members of Parliament then play? Are they just a rubber stamp, or where do you separate between what is a citizen-initiated referenda as opposed to Parliament making laws, or do all laws have to be the result of a citizen-initiated referenda?
No. What it is, if people don't understand, you actually have to have a majority of the people sign a petition in the majority of the states, all right? Then this is presented to the parliament. If the parliament doesn't enact those laws, then it automatically goes to a plebiscite at the next election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what it's doing is putting the power back into people's hands. If there is an issue, say there's legislation that the parliament has introduced that the people don't want, it gives the people the right then to have a say. At the moment, people don't have a say, all right? They don't have a say in legislation if they're not happy with things that are happening. So it actually gives the people an opportunity to have their say. Of course, your parliament has to be run and your legislation is put forward, but this is a safety net for the people. Now, they do enact it in New Zealand, they have got it in California, they have got it in Italy, and they have got it in Sweden. So this is important to these countries because it has worked in these countries. So that's what I'm saying about it. You're not taking the power out of the politicians. It's giving power back to the people. If there's an issue that really they are very concerned about, they will have an opportunity to have a
Pauline, if there was a plebiscite in Australia about marriage equality and the majority of people voted in favour of marriage equality, how would you vote?
In the Parliament.
How would I vote?
In Parliament.
On having a plebiscite?
No. If the plebiscite's occurred and the majority of people in Australia have voted supporting marriage equality, we therefore require Parliament to change legislation. How would you vote?
Oh, no. If the people at the plebiscite have voted to actually embrace marriage equality between, you know, the gay and lesbian society, I would support that.
That's fantastic.
Because people have had their say. You'd have my total support.
Yeah.
Because I'm there as a people's representative. But I believe that we've got to start listening to the majority and not the minority anymore. But if the majority of Australians agree with this, they will have my full support.
Unfortunately, Pauline, we're going to run out of time. We will have you back again if you'll come back. I do appreciate you've come on, and I hope we've given you a good go. Is well, I think we have. Sorry, please.
I think it's wonderful. Like I said, we don't always agree on everything. But the fact is that you've invited me onto your program. I've given you my clear, honest views and opinions. And that's what democracy is all about. And, you know, I am grateful for the opportunity. I hope, you know, we will have further discussions, I'm sure.
Great. And, look, you know, for us, having you on our station has... You know, we've had a lot of feedback, let's just say that. But we believe in, you know, in freedom of speech. We don't believe in hate speech. And I think we have a much better understanding of where you're coming from. And I am very pleased that you've said that if there was a majority vote in a plebiscite, you would support that. I think that's really important.
Yeah, I don't believe in hate speech either, and I've never been a person to put out hate speech. I've always tried to present the facts and my opinions. And what people will find with me, I'm not one of these two-faced politicians, hypocrites, who will tell you one thing one minute and do something the next. You'll always know where you stand with me, and I'm upfront and honest with the people, and they know what they get when they put me on the floor of Parliament. But I'll fight for everyone's rights and what I feel is fair and just on society as a whole, and not just what minorities want to push. But I'll go back to that again. You have a right to live your life and be happy, and what you do behind closed doors, like I said, is your business.
Thank
as
you, Pauline.
All right. So anyway, you know where we stand.
Guys. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Senator Pauline Hanson, leader of One Nation.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.